When Rabbi Schmelzer called me a few weeks ago, before I called him back, I took a quick look at the extended weather forecast. Balmy and 82. They didn't say anything about rain. I want to start by also echoing the sentiments that Rabbi Schmelzer just mentioned. I think he said that we were friends when we were younger. The truth is that he was an Elter Rebocher, and he had ashpa on myself and many of my chevra. And we always looked at him as somebody who not only was a choshev bocher, but somebody who related to the bocherim and was mashpia on us. And we've always had a lot of akaras hatoiv to him. On the way in, I want to thank Nachman Meisels for driving me from the airport to here. He braved the weather, and we got a chance to talk a little bit about what the Kollel accomplishes and what it does. And he told me it is a beacon of light for the community. It is a place where he said it is everything to everybody. May they continue on this yontif where the light of Torah Shebaal Peh shines so strongly. May the Kollel continue to do its wonderful Avodas HaKodesh. Rabbi Schmelzer and all the Chevrei HaKollel, many of whom I'm privileged to meet this evening, may you continue to do your incredible work, and may the fire of Torah burn strongly in North Miami Beach. The 36 candles that we light on Hanukkah, the Svarim tell us, represent the 36 hours that the Or HaGonuz, the hidden light, shined in the very beginning of creation. But the Ribbono Shel'olam saw that the light, the shine, the glow of these lights was too great. It was a spiritual light. It was too great. So the Ribbono Shel'olam was goynez that light. He hid it. La'asid lavoi for the tzaddikim. Asked the Leshem, Rabbi Yashiv's grandfather, a great mekubal from the previous dor, where did the Ribbono Shel'olam hide this incredible spiritual light? Says the Leshem that the Ribbono Shel'olam hid this Or HaGonuz inside the soul of each and every Yid. And when we learn Torah, when the light of Torah shines, when we act in a Torah-dik manner, that Or HaGonuz shines as well. And on Chanukah, when we light the Neiris of Chanukah, the Or HaGonuz once more shines. Not only does it shine in our windows, but it shines in our souls. A number of years ago, I was privileged to teach in a school where not all the young men in the school and not all the young ladies were Shomer Torah Umitzvos as of yet. One boy's name was Andrew. He was incredibly insecure. He began every comment with, "This is probably not right, but..." His hair was disheveled. His loose leaf was a wreck. It was Hanukkah time, and I decided to try something a little different. Instead of learning about the dreidel and learning about the menorah, I'm going to teach them a niggin from Hallel. So, figured if it goes, it goes. If it doesn't, I'll sing a solo. I've done worse things. And I started to teach them Shlomo Kalbach's Ona Hashem. And we got to the high parts, and I'm singing na ra 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 ra. And as we're singing along, I hear this magnificent harmony. Not a high or a low, but a fifth or a seventh, something, and it sounded like it was coming from an angel. It was the most beautiful sound I've ever heard. And I said, "Who's singing?" And everybody's pointing at Andrew. I said, "Andrew, you sing beautifully. You should be in a choir. He says, well, I don't want to talk about it. And they said, tell him, Andrew, tell him. I don't want to talk about it. They want to talk about it, I let it go. We finished the class, I'm packing up my stuff. Kedarka Bakoydesh, he is packing up his stuff last in the classroom. I'm about to walk out and he says, Rebbe, can I just tell you something? I said, sure. He said, I do sing in a choir, but you have to promise you won't get upset. I said, upset? Why should I get upset? He says, do you promise? I said, of course I promise. He said, I sing in a church choir. It's very hard to get me to be speechless. I was speechless. I felt like crying. I didn't know what to say. He says, I want to tell you why. He says, my mother was married to a Jewish man who was very not nice to us. I happen to know that he was abused. Says, and luckily, my mother got away from him, and she married a very nice, not Jewish man. And he said it would mean a lot to her if I sang in the choir. So that's why I do it. Again, I didn't know what to say, and I nodded, my heart broken too for him. I turned to leave, and he says, but I promise you that when I sing, I close my eyes, and I pretend that I'm singing in the Beis HaMikdash. Rachmono liba boi, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants what is in the deepest recesses of our neshama. Some of us are zoiche to come from beautiful homes and beautiful backgrounds, and life is handed to us on a silver platter. But there are many who don't have it so easily. And on Chanukah, the light of their neshama shines as well. Every night of Chanukah, we light Neiris. And as we get older, the numbers grow. We've lit probably over 1,000 Neiris in our life. Maybe more. But how do we make it meaningful? To light the Chanukah Neiris, how do we make it special? The same thing over and over again. Says the Kava Yosher that every single time a Yid lights a Chanukah Ner, there are Srofim, Oifanim, V'chayis HaKodesh that descend from heaven and come down into a person's home. And as you light those Chanukah Neris, those Malochim answer Amen. And they are Nishtoimim, they are in awe that a simple human being is able to destroy the kash of Esav. Referring to Apostle in Ovadia, V'hoye beis Yaakov, lo'eish, uveis Yosef, lo'hova, uveis Esav l'kash. And what is the kash? What is the straw of Esav? It is the influences of secular society that infiltrate our homes. And when a Yid lights a Chanukah Ner, the Malachim are in awe of us. But there's more, because the Svarim tell us that when a person lights a Ner, not only do you light that Ner, but any time Chazal or the Torah or Nevi'im or Ksuvim refer to a Ner, that Ner is ignited as well. Dehainu. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of Hashem is the neshama of a human being. Our neshama, a very small part of it, is situated inside of us. It's called our nefesh. It is attached by a spiritual umbilical cord called a ruach. And the main part, our neshama, is situated underneath the kisei hakovet. That is, when a person lights the Ner Chanukah, our neshamis, the throne of the Almighty, is shining. Because we lit a Ner of Chanukah. There's another Ner. The Gemara says, Ner Ish Ubeisai. The mitzvah of Adlokas Ner Chanukah is a candle a person and his household. And the Gemara tells us that people that are careful about Neiris are zoiche lebonav ruuyim, to good children. You're zoiche to shalom bayis. Rav Shloima Hyman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Torah V'Das, was married for 26 years. He came over from Europe and he died a very young man. He was barely 50 years old. Rav Shloima was never zoiche to have children. And the only person that sat Shiva for him was his Rebbetzin. The Bochum from Yeshiva would come and they would make the minyan three times a day, and then they would peek behind the curtain and they would say Hamokim Yenachem Eschem to the Rebbetzin. This went on day one, two, three, four, five, until the final morning, Shachris. And after davening, they're about to go over to the Rebbetzin when the Rebbetzin pulls aside the curtain and she says, Bochum, let me tell you about your Rosh Yeshiva. She says, when somebody is married for a very long time, like we were, without children, it is a difficult situation. It is very easy for one spouse to make the other feel bad. Never in 26 years did he ever say a hurtful word to me. But not only that, you should know that there were nights, many nights, that I didn't make supper. How easy would it have been for him to walk into the house and say, what were you doing all day? You're not running after the kids. You're not doing a lot of laundry. The house isn't a mess. But on the nights that I did not make supper, the Rosh Yeshiva would come home, I would walk out of the door, I was very down, and I would come back hours later to the following scenario. The Rosh Yeshiva, pre-microwave days, the Rosh Yeshiva had a hot thermos of boiling hot water waiting for me, coffee in our cups, two slices of cake on each of our plates. And he waited every single time to talk about my day. Not once or twice, but every time that I did not make supper, to make me not feel bad. This is what he did. Ner ish ubeisoy. How often is it that there's petty little things that go on in our houses and our homes? Pettiness. But it becomes a big deal. When we light the Ner Chanukah, we bring Shalom Bayis into our house. But Shalom Bayis doesn't only mean Bein Ish L'Ishtoy. It means that the house has harmony. We live in a period of time. How difficult it is when children don't appreciate the beauty of Torah, or don't appreciate the sacrifice that their parents, that their mothers and fathers make for them. How often is it that parents don't appreciate the struggles of our children in unprecedented times in terms of the challenges that they face with the Yetzirah? I have a cousin, Osher Prero, Olav HaShalom. Some of you might know him, might have known him. He was Nifter a few years ago. And he was a boy that had enormous yisurim. I remember, it's my cousin, and I remember by the Akamas Matseva, his father got up, Rebbein Prero got up, and he stood there, and for 20 minutes, he listed the yisurim that he went through. He had a brain tumor that was operated on when he was 10 years old, and he never fully recovered. The hesped that Rebbein Prero gave by his son's levaya was one of the most memorable hespedim ever given. Because he got up And b'chol tokfoy, he stood in front of the community and he said the following: Hanifter mechaveray al yiftar al mitoich dvar halacha shemitoich kach zachreyu. When somebody takes leave of a friend, the custom is that we take leave mitoich dvar halacha because that's how we remember him. As we take leave of our friend Osher, the father said, I would like to say my son's only chiddush. The last time he was capable of learning like everybody else, he was learning Mishnayos Makis, and he had a question about Adam Zoymiman. If you'd like, you can come over to me afterwards. I'll tell you what the question was. And he said over his son's only chiddush. Afterwards, understandably, he began to ramble a little bit. And finally he sat down. After the kuru, we went to the house, and when it was time to get up for mincha, I went over to him and I said, Reb Aaron, I just want you to know that that was one of the most beautiful espedim I've ever heard. He said to me, the first part was very well prepared, but the second part wasn't. He says, do you know why? I said, no, why? He said, because 24 years ago, when Usher went into surgery the first time, the doctors told us that they don't know if he's going to make it. And as we sat in the waiting room, I thought about what I'm going to say by his levaya. And I decided I was going to say his one chiddush. And I've held on to that chiddush for 24 years. Our children, each and every one of them, have a chiddush, their own unique contribution to Yiddishkeit that nobody else has. Do we cherish our children's chiddushim? Ner ish ubeisoy. When you light Chanukah neris, you light up the house. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. The ner is a mitzvah, and Torah is the light that shines forth from it. What a difference 24 hours makes. Last night at this time, I had one of the most memorable experiences of my life. I was in upstate New York in a prison by a Chanukah party for Yidden. Many Yidden. It was pathetic and sad watching 30 people light Chanukah neris in their prison clothing. And I asked one of them, how long have you been here? He told me I've been here 7 years. I said, so how do you survive? He told me, the Gemara says, Tchiyas HaMeisim Min HaTorah Minayin. Where's the source for Tchiyas HaMeisim Min HaTorah? He says, I learned Pshat a little different. Tchiyas HaMeisim Min HaTorah. The only way to resurrect yourself. He says, believe me, we've made terrible mistakes. And many of us have felt like giving up. But Tchiyas HaMeisim Min HaTorah. But if you hold on to Torah and you learn Torah, then you could be mechaya yourself. That's all we have here. And the loneliness and the darkness of real bitter gullus. They have Torah. Kiner mitzvah v'Torah ar. Berich Rubinson, in 1946, came over on a boat called the Marine Flasher, which was the first boat of the survivors to come from the DP camps. And Mike Tress had gone to Feldfang and other displaced persons camps and had slept with the survivors, and they felt a kinship with them. So the first address that many of them came to was Mike Tress's office, and Mike Tress is in his office with Rav Moshe Scherer, who was a young man at the time. And Berich Rubinson comes to the door. Berich Rubinson survived Auschwitz. He was 70 pounds. He looked like a ghost. And Berich comes to the door, and he stands in the doorway, and he looks at them and he says, "I lost them all. I lost my wife and my children." And he's crying. No big introductions. He just stood there and said it, matter of fact. And Elimelech Tress looks up. And Rav Moshe Scherer looks up. And they're looking at him and they're crying. He says, "But I want you to know something." And in a haunting voice, he begins to sing. He says, "You should know that in Be'onyi, in my horrible affliction, Zechar Dover Le'avdecha, there is only one thing that kept me alive. Ki Imroscha, your word, Ribbono Shel Olam." And he walked over to them and he held on to their hands. And he began to dance slowly. Oizeidim Elitzuni, Elitzuni Yad Miyoid. Mi Tairascha, from your Tairer, Rabbi Hashem, Loina Tisi. I did not stray. I held on to your Tairer throughout, and that's what kept me alive. And that's how they danced. Zaydim Helitsuni, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they scoffed me. An Chanukah, Zeidim B'yad Oiskei Soirasecha. The Yevonim didn't just try to assimilate with us. They tried to take our lives away by taking what's most precious to us, by taking our Torah. When you go to the Kollel to learn at night, you're holding on to that unbreakable chain from Sinai. It's not only you come after a day of work and it's a little tired, but you're holding up the mantle. The mantle that the Hashmonaim fought for. The mantle that Rabbi Aaron Prero held up in his child's only Chiddush. The mantle of Berich Rubinson. The fire of Torah burned strongly. Finally, Varichas Ner Leven Yishai Mashiachecho. Mashiach has a candle that's waiting to be lit. And when you light the candle, when you light Neris Chanukah in your home, you are lighting that candle as well. Because the mitzvahs we do, the Torah we learn, it's eternal. It's not just now. A few months ago, my wife's grandfather, Rav Moshe Lefkowitz, was nifter. He was a prince of a human being. And by his Levaya, Rabbi Yisrael Lefkowitz, who's a distant cousin of ours, flew into Cleveland for the Levaya. And he takes his cane and he hobbles up to the podium. And he begins as follows. He looks at the Nifter and he says, "Ramosha, I'm not sure that a third cousin is reason for me to fly from New York to Cleveland when I'm 79 and have trouble walking. But I came today to say thank you." We say every day in davening, but the wording is inconsistent. Rasha is consistent. But it should have said kechasadai. What's kimifaloi? So asked Rav Skula in the name of the Ra, the Gra. Rav Skula was a Rebbe in Tervadas, and he was Rav Yisrael Lefkowitz's Rebbe. And he told the answer as follows. He said, "Mashalama Adavar Daima, there was once an Ani. A poor man comes over to a fellow and he says, 'Rav Yid, my family's starving to death. We don't have bread to put on the table. If you don't give me $20, they're going to die.' The fellow pulls out $20. He gives him $20. The man goes to the bakery, buys bread and biscuits, and he gives it to the family. Achameva Esrim, the benefactor, comes up to Shemayim, and the Rabbeinu Shalom looks at him, and he says, 'Let me show you your schar, your reward.' And he shows him an unbelievable reward. He says, 'This is for me?' He says, 'Yes, the $20 you gave the fellow.' He says, 'But I gave much more other times.' He says, 'But this time, you didn't give him $20. You gave him his life. You saved his family.' And he turned to my grandfather and he said, 'Rav Moshe, in 1944, my uncles all perished in the concentration camps. But you sent an affidavit to my father. And he survived. And so I come today to say thank you. On behalf of my wife and my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, at Bias Gael Tzedek. Thank you." When a Yid does a mitzvah, it's eternal. You don't just get paid for just that one little thing. It goes on and on. You do a chesed for another Yid. You do a mitzvah. It's eternal. At Bias Gael Tzedek. When you light the Neiris of Chanukah, you are lighting those mitzvahs as well. Sometimes we feel fashlepedik. We have no energy. We go through davening. We do a chesed. We learn. But there's no fire. But the hislavos and the bren and the fire of Neiris Chanukah ignite those mitzvahs. It ignites that limud ha-Torah. And it shines brightly once again. That's what we accomplish by Neiris Chanukah. The gematria the Maral says of the word Heichol is 65. But Yovan, gematria 66, has the power to be Mizgaber over the Heichol, over the sanctuary. And so they were Metame, the Heichol. But there is what's called a Yud Gnuza, a Yud Gonuz. Heichol, there's a Tseire Yud, an A in the word Heichol. You can hear it. Where there's a Yud that's hidden, a second Yud that's hidden. And if you add that Yud, the hidden Yud, if a Gematria of 75, Gematria of Koyin. And on that, Yovan has no Shlita. Because Yovan has Shlita, Yovan has rulership and dominion over a Jew and over the Heichol. And over the sanctuary, up until the Kodesh HaKadoshim, up until the Holy of Holies. But Lifnai V'Lifnim, in the innermost sanctuary of a Yid, not only in the Beis HaMikdash, not only in a shul, but in our hearts, there's places where Yovan cannot come. They cannot control us, and each and every one of us has a place in our neshama that is untouchable. And on Chanukah, the Or HaGonuz shines from there. chosim of the Kohen Gadol is on that Pach Shemen. The seal of the High Holy Priest is on that oil. The oil that is untouchable. If we would tell a stranger about the story of Hanukkah, and we would tell them that there was a small band of soldiers that overcame insurmountable odds and overcame the Hellenistic forces, then they would look at our commemoration and they would say, so this is what you celebrate? A couple lights that miraculously, I mean, there was much bigger miracles, wouldn't you say? The salvation of the Jewish people. But if you can hear in the word chash, my name, chash is a quietness, a subtlety. It's things that are normally not appreciated. Jews do a lot of things that if you don't know about it, you could think that it's a little bit strange, wouldn't you say? Wrapping leather around our arms and blowing horns of animals. So what would have been if every year Hanukkah we would go out onto the battlefield and we would reenact the battle? But we don't. We commemorate the nays to the nairis of Hanukkah. A subtle miracle. Why? The answer is based on a thought from Rav Motl Pagamansky, Rav Gifter's Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Motl Pagamansky says that Yosef found himself in a downward spiral. He was sold and abandoned by his brothers to a band of Arabs, headed down to Egypt. And inside those caravans was some good smelling spices, Chazal tell us. Asks Rav Motl Pagamansky, so what? Wow, it smells good. Okay. But my life's a disaster. Says Rav Motl Pagamansky. There was once a little boy, and a little boy was told that he needs surgery. Doesn't know what that means. So the mother takes the little boy's hand, and the boy joyfully goes to the hospital. And kol zman that child is holding his mother's hand, everything is just fine. But at a certain point, the doctors and nurses say, okay, we'll take over from here. And when they do, the boy starts to scream and yell, and he's hysterical, and he can't be held down. But they bring him in for surgery, screaming and yelling, and they strap him down, trying to hold him down. They're about to put the mask on his face to put him to sleep, when suddenly the boy goes quiet, and he begins to smile. They look, what happened? But they turn around, and they see from the observation window, behind the glass, the curtain has been moved aside, and the boy's mother is smiling to him and waving. Says Rav Motl Pagamansky, Yosef was going to Gehenna. He was going to Mitzrayim. He was abandoned by his brothers. What could be worse? Rabbeinu Shlomo had a plan. It was needed. For whatever the reason. And so from behind the curtain, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave a shmeichel, a smile, to Yosef HaTzadik, in the form of some good-smelling spices. You know, the story of Hanukkah does not have a happily ever after ending. A few short years after the story is over, the entire Hashmonai family, man, woman, and child, are destroyed. They're gone. After that, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So then what are we celebrating? A temporary victory? Yes! In the milchamis that we go through in our daily lives, there's battles each and every moment. Some we will win and some we will lose. Sometimes we'll be able to go to davening on time, sometimes we won't. Sometimes we'll be able not to fight with our children, sometimes we won't. Sometimes we'll be able to learn at night. And sometimes we'll throw in the towel. But if you continue to fight on, you will see there are times when the Rabbeinu Shlomo sends you a smile. And that smile is the Neiris of Hanukkah. And the reason why it means so much to us is because we realize at those moments that the fire of the Neiris is really the Or HaGadol inside of us. It means that because we fought, we feel the flickering, we feel the spark, and we know that we're in the battle. We know at least we can fight, says the Panovich Rav. Why Milchamas? Thank Hashem for the Milchamas? Yes. As long as you're fighting. As long as you have what to fight for. I'll conclude with the following story. I heard the story 2 days ago. That's pretty fresh. The first soldier who was killed in Operation Cast Lead, the most recent Israeli war, his name was Devir Emanuelov. He was 19 years old, a sergeant. His mother's name is Dalia. She had also lost her husband in battle, and now she just had a little girl. As you can imagine, she was broken beyond belief. Came from a non-traditional home, and it was the summertime, and she wanted to at least get away a little bit. She wanted to go from her home in Givat Zev to the old city of Jerusalem, where there was going to be Chutzot HaYotzer, which was an artist colony, was going to gather together and show their wares. She appreciated art, and she wanted to go to at least get her mind away for an afternoon. Her daughter had other plans. She wanted to go to some sort of a concert, and so mother wanted to make her daughter happy. She's sitting down by the concert, and she feels a tap on her shoulder. She turns around. There's a beautiful-looking 4-year-old boy who waves to her. Dalia is a kindergarten teacher, and she appreciates the little child. She says, "Hello there, how are you?" She's lost in her thoughts a little bit, but this had broken her out of her reverie. At that moment, the boy, whose name was Eshel, is called by his father. And he says, "Eshel, come here. Why do you have to bother the lady? Why don't you come and sit here with me and Dvir?" She turns around. Dvir is not a common name. She turns around and she says, "Did you say that the little baby that you're holding, did you say that that little baby's name is Dvir?" He says, "Yeah. Why?" She says, "I'm sorry to impose. It's not my business. But I just want to ask you something. Why did you name him Dvir?" He says, "Well, it's a long story. I'd rather not get into it. But the first soldier who was killed a few months ago in the war, his name was Dvir Emanuelov." At that moment, Dalia breaks down crying. And she says, "Dvir's my son." As you can imagine, it was quite a surprise. She says, "You know, you said it was a long story. What's the story?" He says, "Well, we never told this to anybody. But my wife was in her 33rd week of pregnancy. And she went to visit the doctor. And the doctor said that he took some tests. And it looks as though, even though she has to continue with the pregnancy, but it looks like the child will not survive." She came home, she was devastated. She's sitting by the dining room table and she's listening to the radio. And on the radio they said that today the first casualty in battle was killed by Hamas fire. The boy's name was Devir Emanuelov. And she listened and she said, "I can feel the pain of this mother. She lost her child, and I'm about to lose mine." She started to cry, and she really felt the connection. A few minutes later, I came home. And when I came home, the husband says, "My wife asked me that if she makes it full term, would they be able to name their child Dvir, L'zecher Nishmas, the soldier. We accept it upon ourselves right there and then. He says, it's been a long road, but when the baby was born, there was terrible complications. They didn't think the baby would live. But after the baby finally got the green light for a bris, we decided we would name our child as we had promised, Dvir. And Dvir's mother knew that her husband was not going to come back to life, and neither was her son. But she knew that with an incredible amount of hashgacha, Hashem had decided on that summer afternoon to send her a smile, to let her know that even though it's difficult, even though the road will not be easy, but the Rebbeinu Shlomo was telling her that he will always be there for her. Dvir Kodshoy Heviani, we say, in Mois Tzur. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has a Dvir Kodshoy, a Lifnai V'Lifnim, an inner sanctuary. And in that inner sanctuary, we are untouchable. But only if we go there. Only if we are willing to be able to hide ourselves inside that Lifnai V'Lifnim, to discover the inner beauty inside each and every one of us, to connect to the Aragonas in our Neshamas by learning Torah, by living a life of Torah. And Emir Tashem soon, that light will connect to Arichas Ben Yishai, to the candle of Mashiach. Freilich and Hanukkah.